Welcome to the Bluffton Presbyterian Church podcast. For more information, visit us at bluffdenpc.org.
Welcome to worship this Sunday morning at Bluffton Presbyterian Church. Happy Mother's Day, I want to be the first to say. Okay, be sure, please, to pass the friendship pad if you haven't already done so, and let us know your address or some other contact information. If you're a visitor, we'd like to be able to contact you and welcome you, and thank you for joining us today. There are several announcements in the bulletin, so please make sure to read them. And I do want to point out a few. The community meal is this Thursday, 6 p.m. at the Senior Center. And this is something that the deacons take care of, but we welcome your participation. So if you'd like to volunteer for an hour or so at the Senior Center, please join us over there, 5:30. And we're still in need of pies. Before your ovens get cold from the craft fair pie baking marathon, if you can donate another pie, that would be so wonderful. We're known around town for pies. The seniors and others who go to the community meal will be upset if there are no Presbyterian pies there. Just saying. Okay? So bring your pie donations, please, to the Senior Center by 5:30 on Thursday. And thank you for those who've already donated. Next Sunday, there will be a congregational lunch after church at Two Pueblo, just down the street. Again, next Sunday after worship. And a couple of announcements from the Mission Committee. Next week is Pentecost Sunday, and that's the final date to bring in health fair kits or loose items. And despite what was in the newsletter, we are not having a potluck lunch next week, but now we are having a breakfast next week, if I understand correctly, but no potluck lunch. And if anyone would like to volunteer to help package loose items, you can do so either during the Sunday school breakfast or joint class or after worship next week. And remember, monetary gifts are also welcome. Please make checks payable to Bluffton Presbyterian Church with health fare on the memo line. And also from the Mission Committee, please remember that the can recycling is still ongoing. So if you're having a graduation party or another get-together this spring, we would love to have your empty pop and beer cans. There are no beer cans in this congregation. Okay, because the basement is currently under renovation, please leave your offerings in clean garbage bags in the library. And that's from the Mission Committee. Any other announcements? Okay, yes. Okay, Jay's letting us know that next Sunday is the community Sunday school class, And there will be a breakfast, but it won't be pancakes. Any other announcements? Okay, let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
Our opening scripture comes from the book of Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Please follow along in our call to worship. We praise you, God, who loves us like a mother and a father.
Amen.
You have loved us and called us your children.
Christ has called us brothers and sisters.
Come, let us worship our God.
Our Creator, our Parent, the one who loves us most. Amen.
Let us stand together and sing. Thank you. You may be seated. What a wonderful song that is at times a little hard to get through, especially now being a parent myself. I find myself coming to different verses and just a little choked up because I know what it now feels like to look out for a child, at least one of my own. And that's something to think about, that God cares for us in that way, to that extent, that what we do, or more often sometimes don't do, affects God as what we, our own children do affect us. God doesn't just love us as part of a kingdom, but rather as a parent. Something to remember this day in addition to all others. But if you have a life like mine, you have had some times where you made mom and dad wonder. And you were home a little later than you should have been. Or you did things that mom and dad questioned. We have the same things in our spiritual life. When we don't quite match up to what our heavenly parent wants of us. Not to be a ruler over us. We recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. In recognizing Jesus, we recognize our brothers and sisters in the world. We seek forgiveness and give our forgiveness, knowing that Jesus forgives and loves us all.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us stand together and sing. Okay, I'm game. How do I gladly serve my God? That's what I'm supposed to be doing. It's great to make hot dogs. And thank you for all those who gave their time to do so. It's great to rip up carpet. And thank you for all those who gave their time to do so. It's great to be on deacons and so many other care ministries. And thank you for those who do so. But one of the first ways we can serve our God is by extending the peace he gives us. Our world needs a calm presence. Let us be part of that by extending the peace that God gives us. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Do the work of your God by sharing peace with those around you. It is Mother's Day, after all.
Yeah.
We have a rogue penny. Before we get started, I had someone ask me a very interesting question. This is more for them than you guys, but you guys can listen too. Someone asked me the question, can only the kids put change in the jar? What do you guys think? No, anybody can. So if you do have change and if you want to contribute to the kids, you can do so throughout any point, before, after, however else during worship. But the kids still get to decide how to use it. I think the floor is getting farther away each day. Well. So, what is today?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. And what did... That was probably my best stewardship sermon ever. It really moved people. No, sorry. Mother's Day. Okay, and what do you guys do on Mother's Day? Yeah? Because of how good of a job they do for you. Ooh, that's a loaded one. It's a day we set aside to remember mothers. Now, do you know that we only call it Mother's Day in the United States? Do you know what we call it in the rest of the world? Anybody ever traveled abroad and hear what the other word for it is? Just a small shift. No, it's not parents. They don't combine it. What's that?
Dia de los Madres.
Yeah, right. that's a little bit more complex. We're not going there. In other places, particularly like Britain, they call it Mothering Day. Huh. What do you guys think is the difference between mothers and mothering? What's a mother? What's that?
A
parent? A mom? What makes someone a mom? They gave birth to us. They take care of us. Okay. What does it mean when someone's mothering? You guys remember that from school? What happens when you put an ing on it? You're like, Pastor, we're not in school. We don't want to do this. That's grammar. What's that? What does it mean when it comes ing? Can someone be mothering without being our mom?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the neat thing is we pretty much, most of us have one mom in one way or another. But we have a lot of people who might mother us. Who are some other people who might mother you? Yeah? Grandma? Dad? Yeah, dads can be mothering too. They can be. Who else?
If you were an orphan, you would have like a stepdad or stepmom.
Step-parents and adopted parents can be mothering. How about Sunday school teachers? How about teachers?
Yes.
It's okay, hon. Here. Can you have a teacher that'd be mothering?
Yeah.
And so it's neat to give thanks for our mom, but we also want to make sure we give thanks to everybody who takes care of us, all those people who are mothering. So I need a couple of volunteers. Okay, you two guys come here, and can I take you two? Come here. And just hold on. We'll get back to you guys. And I need you on that side. And I need you here.
And I need you on that far side. And come here. Come here. We have something we're going to give those who mother us. So can you hold the basket? Ladies, you are part of the church. We acknowledge that you are mothering. Don't worry, fellas, you have yours coming. Guess when? Don't miss it, no matter what the barbecue says. So if you guys want to take and pass the basket down, you want to be over there? Just like we do at offering. As they're passing the basket, the rest of you guys, this way. Hey, rest of you guys. What are some of the things people who are mothering do? Yeah. Think about it, then raise. Got it? Yeah. Teach. A mothering person, someone teaches. What else do mothering people do? Older folks, you have mothering people in your world, right? Feed you. What else? Encourage. Comfort. Who has ever got a bandage from someone else? Ain't that mothering? What else? What do mothering people do for us? Yeah.
Take care of you.
What? Another feeder. I like, you know, hey, you know, food. You know.
I'll never see my hand that kisses.
Okay. And where are we at for our baskets?
Chauffeur.
What's that?
Chauffeur.
That's very true. Take care of them when they're sick. How many mothering people have helped clean floors? Okay, you guys come here with that basket. Yeah?
I clean floors.
Clean floor. Okay. Let's trade off. Who else raised their hand for wanting to help? Can you guys go up into the choir loft? Thank you. Oh, almost gotcha. Hey, we match. Check that out. So is it simple to say that mothering is an easy job?
No.
No, it's a big job. So it's really important that we do say thank you for all of them. Okay, thanks. You have a seat and we'll get the choir taken care of. Okay, you guys. We'll let the back row pass it, and why don't you two just come back down here? Hey, stop. Now let's join together for a prayer, thanking all those people who are mothering in our world. Holy God, we first give special thanks for our moms and our mothers and our grandmas and our mimis and our mamas. And all the other words we use to describe mom. But we also extend our thanks to all those people who are mothering to us. Help remind us of their special gifts and encourage us always in their life. Lord, encourage us to not just be thankful one day, but thankful for all the days that they take care of us. Amen. Thanks, guys. Ariana has two speeds, on and off.
No.
Our first reading today is the 97th Psalm. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Mike Ronimus, can I ask you a favor? Now that the choir's over, would you mind turning off the spots? It's just a little warm today. If you're wearing a big, long dress, trust me, it makes a difference. We are now going to turn our minds from psalms and songs to the Gospel of John. And we are picking up in the middle of a very good-sized prayer. Up to this point, Christ has been praying for his disciples. And we pick up now at the last half as he changes his focus. Let us hear together the words of the Gospel of John. I ask not only on behalf of my disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me and I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one. So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and will make it known so that love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. As mentioned, our reading this week from the Gospel of John is part of a prayer. And the whole prayer is a great read. It's very uplifting. But it's also the entirety of the 17th chapter. And so it's a little bit more than we have time to focus on this morning. Now, prayer for Jesus is not an uncommon topic. It's one he speaks on frequently. It's one of his major themes. So that's not too uncommon. He taught on it fairly frequently. Yet it's the nature of the prayer that makes this one special. In this prayer, or at least in this section of it, Jesus prays for us. Jesus is not praying for the person he's healing at that time in history. Jesus is done praying for his disciples, the people who walked with him. Who Jesus is praying for is literally you and me, here, now, as well as all of our brothers and sisters throughout the Christian history, as well as for those to come. So, it's one thing to learn lessons taught for somebody, but to have an address for you, that's something special. Something that it takes a little bit of time to delve into. And it's in this prayer, of all the things he can wish for us, that Jesus shares his dreams, his hopes. And like any teacher or caregiver, friend, he certainly cares for us, but what he prays for most of all is unity. Now think about this. The great teacher, the Messiah, the Christ who is, can say anything he wants about the following church, and what he chooses to focus on is unity? Why not go out and feed people?
Why not make sure you pray 3 times a day? Make sure you keep gluten out of your diet or whatever else. No. He says unity. Unity. Now, what comes to mind when you hear the word unity? For many of us, when we think of unity, what we actually think of is uniformity, which is a different critter entirely. Uniformity is a bunch of soldiers lining up in dress uniform with not a hair or a button out of place. And when they march, it looks like a well-oiled machine, and it's something kind of fantastic to see. But they all match. And in fact, they want them to. Uniformity is what we want out of our factories. We want every widget to be exactly the same. Because when we take it and we replace the faulty one, we want it to work. You can't have widget one be a right-handed one and your widget two be a left-handed one. It won't work that way. You need them to be all the same. Uniformity is sometimes, unfortunately, what we want out of our school system. Every child to achieve the same level through the same process. But uniformity is being identical. Carbon copy. It's what your bulletins are. Because we want to make sure that Jeff is singing the same song Claire is. We want to make sure that the confession that Jeremy has is the same confession Michelle has, or else people would feel really bad about it. So there's nothing wrong with uniformity. It can be good. It's how we, like I said, we base a lot of our world off of. But that's not what Christ is wanting for us. Sometimes we think it is. Sometimes we think Christians should be uniform. That is, carbon copies of each other. That a good Christian, or even a good Presbyterian, looks like this. And we could give you a list. And you can go off and check them off the list. But that's not what Christ is saying. And I go off on a limb and say I don't think it's really possible either. Uniformity is not the purpose of the prayer, but unity. As John records, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, so that we might be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So one together, in the same way that Christ and the Creator are one. We talk about those two being one, and that's so important, but they still have their own flavors. So we are called to be unified in that way. Not so we can be interchangeable with each other. If we don't have Bob, we have a Bob-shaped hole. We can't grab Carol and shove her into it. There's a Carol-shaped hole. She can't become Bob. There is a Don-shaped hole. Believe me, there is a Don-shaped hole. After all the jokes we had yesterday after the grill, there is a Don-shaped hole. And we can't grab someone else and just shove them in there and make it work. But rather, we focus on unity. So we can be seen to be in the one nature. That is the love of God. Now that feels all warm and fuzzy, to be in one nature, to be in the love. That kind of feels like the wrap-up kind of good fuzzies. But we still have that nagging question in the back of our mind of, okay, what does that really mean? If I'm supposed to be one of the nature, how do I do that? What does it mean to be in the love? What does that look like? Well, one of the best examples I can think of is a quilt. A quilt is one item, one object. But just because it's one item doesn't mean that all its parts are the same. In fact, a quilt's beauty comes from the variety in its panels. It comes from its different stitching, its different forms. It comes from the design. Truly, if all the parts of a quilt were identical, it would be boring and not a work of art. Moreover, this quilt has a purpose. That is to keep a loved one protected and warm. For that to happen, a quilt needs to have different parts. You can't have a quilt just of a top layer and have it be warm and protecting. It'll just be a single sheet of fabric. You need the batting. You need the backing. You need all the parts to work together. And none of them look like each other. If you were to say one part is not needed, you wouldn't have a quilt. It's only when all the parts come together that it functions. And this is true with so many of our created things. You think about the complex nature of our modern cars and all the parts that go into them. And God hope they all work when I turn the key. We can't make a car out of just one thing. We need all of them. So it is with us. We are called to be one item, that is, followers of Christ. We are called to a purpose to show God's love. But our role is accomplished best when we have unity. We come together to achieve these things, not uniformity. Certainly, there is little uniformity in the Christian family. You look across at our own family, and none of us look alike. We all are shaped different. We are all dressed different. We all come from different homes. That's a good thing. In our variety, we are made stronger. But to lack unity would be a terrible thing. It's the quilt coming unraveled, or the car breaking down in your driveway when the parts don't work together. Are you starting to see why Christ prayed for this of all things? That his followers would work together to show love. Think about our own families today as we celebrate mothers and so much more. We don't expect uniformity in the family. Think about your children. Do any of them act like each other? Two children out of the same household are black and white. One goes off to be an engineer, the other one goes off to be a poet. And you look at them and you go, they both came from the same household. You look at my brother and myself and we are night and day. But we are still family. We still come together to love and to care. That is what Christ is praying for us. That is what we are called to do. Let us make room for all the followers of Christ in the quilt of God's love. I guess we're going to sing. Let's stand together and sing 517. The great Thanksgiving, but that's fine. They're standing. We'll sing. I'm sorry? Yeah, we'll sing. We'll sing. Thank you. You may be seated. That one is my fault because I normally do have a hymn after the sermon and I mixed it up on you today. So imagine that. Pastor did something weird, which is pretty much a given. So someone was reading a bulletin earlier this week and I asked them after we had this exchange if I could share this and they said yes. I will never share anything unless someone gives me permission. And they were reading the bulletin and they're like, God kissing me? Why do you say that? Ew. I don't want to think about God that way. I was like, well, let's talk about the different type of kisses. Certainly there are romantic kisses, and we like them. But there's also other types of kisses. I have a 3-year-old. I have found out that my kisses are magical. If she's crying because of a boo-boo, a kiss from daddy can make her go run and play again. I never thought that kisses can heal, but there are the kisses we can receive from our parents, from our friends, and other ways that we feel loved and encouraged. So as we hear kisses and love in our great Thanksgiving, let us think about how we might receive them from our heavenly parent, rather from our mate or our romantic interest. So see, you can ask me anything. We'll talk about it. Please follow along in your bulletin, The Great Thanksgiving. We are those who seek after love. We long for its touch and we yearn for the soft, warm softness of its kiss. We are the ones who remember our lover, the God who seeks, the God who calls our name. The God who invites us into joyful intimacy, the lover whose offer we will not neglect.
This is our time to respond and to worship. Hallelujah. Amen.
Lord, we have heard your call so many times. Lord, we have seen your beauty in so many ways. Lord, we have felt your touch in so many gentle encounters. And you have not rejected us. You have showered us with compassion.
We
We believe in God, the creator and lover of the universe.
And we respond to this God in love.
We believe in Jesus Christ, the embodiment of love and the Savior of all.
And we respond to this God in love.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, love's power poured out and the presence of love within.
And we respond to this God in love.
We believe in the church, the community of love, and we believe in life renewed and eternal, love enjoyed and shared with God and creation forever. Lord, you have made your love and commitment to us so clear. You have revealed your involvement in our world and our lives. And you have repeatedly saved us, healed us, and restored us.
So with confidence and thanks, we ask for your help once again.
We remember the many in our world who are alone, neglected, abused, and unloved.
Hear us, O Lord, and in your love answer.
We remember the ones who have forgotten how to love, and who only know hate.
Hear us, O Lord, and in your love answer.
We remember all those who mistake love for control, for obsession, or for power.
Hear us, O Lord, and in your love answer.
We remember those who lovingly give themselves to serve, protect, comfort, and heal others.
Hear us, O Lord.
We remember the ones that we hold in our hearts, our family and our friends, and all with whom we share your love.
Hear us, O Lord, and hear your love answer.
May your love grow within us and through us. May your love grow in the world for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. Our Creator invites us to his table. He has prepared a feast for us. A table is laden with good things, the bread of life, the cup of salvation.
We are so thankful to receive the Lord's gifts. We are so blessed to enjoy the Lord's presence.
All are welcome at this meal. This is, again, not our table, but the Lord's. We make no distinction here on who is welcome, for here there is always a place. And let us join together throughout all time and space, singing to the glory of God as we sing eternity's praise song. We remember, hear, and celebrate how God made his love known to us, how Jesus lived among us and taught us to love God and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But his clearest, most powerful act of love was his choice to lay down his life so that we might find ours. On the eve of his death, he gave us this sacred meal to remind us all of what he did and said. While he and his friends were eating, he took bread and blessed it, and then he broke it and passed it around.
This is my body broken for you. Eat it as a way to remember me and my love for you.
After the meal, he took the wine and blessed it, and he passed it among his friends.
This is my blood poured out for you. Drink it as a way to remember me and my love for you.
And so again, we eat and we drink, and we proclaim Jesus' life and death, his love and his mercy. And we open our hearts to this lover once more. Friends, let us come together to the Lord's table. Can I, the servers, please come forward? Bread of life.
the cup of salvation. You'll probably want this back now, right? One of the early things you learn is to always put things back where mom can find them. Let us give thanks. Thank you, God of our hearts. We have shared the bread and the wine. We have expressed the love and compassion of God. And we have remembered the mission of Jesus, which we are all called to continue. Are there any joys we'd like to share with the congregation this morning? Yes, Claire.
Thank you to the many, many volunteers at yesterday's craft day lunch. It seems as though almost everyone had some type of role that they played, whether it was donating the food and everything was delicious, or working throughout the event. And we had a net profit of $454. And everything was very delicious.
And if I can kind of tag onto that with something Diane mentioned about how we're known for pies. It's funny how we are known in the community. We're known as the church with the lights. We're known as the church of the hot dogs. And we're known as the church of the pies. But there's a whole lot worse things we could be known for. All those things are wonderful acts of giving and sharing. Other praises. I see one in the back. Yes, Lynn.
Diane, did I also see your hand?
Well, I just wanted to congratulate Owen and Kay again on their donation.
Yes.
They make it so easy.
It, it was 50, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You are a brave man. And I will also give thanks that this week Michelle and I celebrated our anniversary. And it's amazing she still puts up with me. And I also give thanks that we had the opportunity to take some time off. Thank you for allowing me a chance to see other things and do other things for a week. But it is very good to be back home.
Thank you.
Yes.
I went to pay for my lunch yesterday, and they said, "You've been taken care of." I don't know who did it, but thank you.
Wow. We give thanks for everybody who takes care of Darlene. As well as others. Yes, all the way in the back.
I better also let everyone know that Tammy and I also celebrated the anniversary.
Yeah. Congratulations, and you're right. You're kind of... Well, if you're ever looking for a time of year where it's good to get married, this week it seems to be it. Are there any prayer concerns we'd like to share with the congregation this morning? Tina.
I think we need to keep the community of Ottawa in our prayers with the tragedies that happened there this week, of everyone involved.
Certainly continue to keep Ottawa in your prayers through what will be a challenge for that town, a relatively small town, to heal from. Yes. Sarah, who's going into hospice care. Did I hear that correctly? Please follow along in your bulletin. Also be aware that at the end of joys and concerns and prayers, we're going to have a short special announcement before we take the offering. Sisters and brothers in Christ, why do you call to God?
I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is greater than all.
May your trust in our loving God bring you peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy God, we hear that ours is a place at the table, and that we are welcome within the family, and we are loved as your children and as a sibling of all these friends. Lord, encourage us to see ourselves as part of the family, as well as everyone else. And it is from the variety that we find our beauty. Lord, we know that sometimes our brothers and sisters grate on our nerves, and there are times we wish someone else was more like us. When we feel these ways, Lord, challenge us. Help us see how we are welcomed, and so how we can turn around and help and welcome others. Lord, in our variety and in our different lives, we've heard of so many praises, of a number of anniversaries, of the praise of a full life that's been concluded and has been rejoined with you. The praise of a surgery that's been healed and is moving on, and the prayer of another surgery and the healing yet to come. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless all these situations and so much more. Lord, in addition to these, we ask for your prayer, for your Spirit to come, to be a special healing force for our local friend and town of Ottawa, who is realizing that the world is sometimes a dark and scary place, and sometimes people do things that are not always the best. We ask that you help them heal, and that they all might be able to return to a loving state. Lord, we also ask for your presence in a life that has to move into the time of hospice, and the challenges that go with that, and the questions it raises. Lord, in these cases and so much more, we need your peace. Work through these places and help people heal. even when that healing is returning to you. Through all these and so much more, remind us that we are loved as we remember the prayer that your Son taught us as we share. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Roy, would you please come up and share your announcement? And as Roy is sharing the announcement, I'm going to pass out a handout, and the two have nothing to do with each other. I picked up the bulletins three times trying to get these inserts in, and every time they disappeared from the office. So it's a conspiracy, I tell you.
So. Next Sunday is Pentecost, and it's the day that we will receive our Pentecost offering. The focus of the Pentecost offering is young people and youth. And there are three different foci. And the one I want to talk about this morning is the youth triennium. In mid-July, about 5,000 young people from the Presbyterian Church USA and global partners will gather at Purdue University for 5 days of worship, interactive small group Bible study, and fun. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for young people to have a time of self-expression and spiritual discernment. The Youth Triennium theme this year is I Am. And there will be focus on the many times that Jesus uses analogies where he begins with, I am, the bread of life, the good shepherd, and so on. What do we hope that the youth will take away from this event? Certainly a better understanding of God and how God and when God speaks to them. A better understanding of themselves, and finding or further developing their calling to make a difference in the world. First-time attenders from our church this year will be Samantha and Patrick Ronimus, and Emily and Megan Sykes. Jane Sykes goes back as a volunteer her second time. And a wonderful anniversary for a third time for Tina, who returns as our delegation leader. I can attest to the way that this has affected the life of our granddaughter, Jessica, who attended 9 years ago. She came away more confirmed in her calling to teach young children. She's gone on and earned a degree in early child education, both bachelor and master's, and has now been teaching for 4 years with young people in the Atlanta area. But I saved the best news for last, folks. This year, 40% of the offering can be retained here in our church to defray the costs of the folks that are going from our congregation. So I ask you next Sunday to be prepared prayerfully to give generously to the Pentecost offering.
Thank you, Roy. May we now take up this morning's gifts and collections. Thank you, friends, for your time throughout today in our special, a little bit longer worship than normal, giving thanks for mothers as well as giving thanks for the Lord's Supper. Let's join together in prayer. Holy God, may we find unity in the purpose of using your gifts. Let us find the one way that makes for the best use of your will. Lord, encourage us constantly in your direction. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Spending time in Chicago, big surprise, I rode a lot of subways. And if you ever rode a subway, you realize something. The cars are not hard linked together. There's play between each car. And I asked somebody why that was. And they said, if you tried to make those turns and the variations in the track with hard linked cars, they'd break apart. Those little parts of flex allow the trains to function. Let us remember this in our church, as well as in our families and friends. We are not hard linked. We're not carbon copies. But we can be unified for one purpose, as so many are. May you find peace in the knowledge that you are God's beloved children. You have a place, and you are welcome always. Go in peace, friends.
This has been a podcast of the Bluffton Presbyterian Church in Bluffton, Ohio. For more information, visit us at blufftonpc.org. Have a blessed week.